If we want to attack someone or insult them, we often insult them by attacking their parents. We tell yo mama jokes. Yo mama's so fat, she's got her own zip code. Or yo mama's so ugly, when she took a bath, the water jumped out. Yo mama's so fat that when she saw a yellow school bus go by full of white kids, she ran after it yelling, Twinkie! Yo mama's so ugly, when she went into a haunted house, she came out with a job application. Yo mama's so fat, she walked past the TV, and I missed 3 episodes. I even found a Christian one. Yo mama's so fat, when she got baptized, she had to go to SeaWorld. Now, you might insult mama, or you might give insults related to someone's father. We say, boy, he is a son of a gun. Or we have certain swear words that refer to someone's parentage, like their mother being a canine, or them not having a father. Now, the big question of this passage is, who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? So keep that on your mind. So here in John chapter 8, Jesus attacks the Jewish religious people by saying that their father is someone terrible. And before we jump into the text, let's consider the who, where, and what of the passage. Who? It's Jesus versus the Jewish religious leaders. Where? They're at the temple near the treasury. And what's going on? Jesus is going head to head with the scribes and the Pharisees. And he tells them, you are of your father, the devil. So, first we see their claim. They say, Abraham is our father. Verse 39, they answered him, Abraham is our father. Now, ethnically, it's true. They are descendants of Abraham. And Jesus already admitted that if you look back in verse 37. But having Abraham as your father is more than just DNA and bloodlines. It means to walk in his ways, like father, like son. Abraham was the father of salvation by faith alone. Genesis 15 verse 6 says, he believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. But these Jews have not believed on Jesus, and they think that they will be saved not by faith, but by keeping the law. They're living contrary to the ways and the faith of Abraham. So despite their DNA, Jesus makes a good point. Abraham is not your father. Continuing verse 39, Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works your father did. Muslims and Jews all claim that Abraham is their father. But Jesus makes clear that only those who put their faith in him are the true children of Abraham. Then the Jews play the trump card. Their second claim, God is our father. Continuing in verse 41, they said to him, we were not born of sexual immorality. Now, likely they were implying, we were not born of sexual immorality, but you were. If you remember, Jesus' mom was pregnant outside the bounds of matrimony. Stories about this circulated later on about Jesus. And in their writing, the Jews often referred to Jesus as the bastard son of Mary. In essence, they were saying, we are legit, but you're not. Then they say, continuing verse 41, we have one father, even God. In the Old Testament, God often referred to himself as the husband of Israel. Now, they could have said, God is our husband, but they don't. They don't go there, probably for a few reasons. Number one, when God spoke of himself as their husband, in the next breath, he often referred to Israel as a faithless wife or an idolatrous whore. That argument might not have made the point that they were aiming at. Number two, It's always a little weird for guys to refer to themselves as the wife of God. And number three, the discussion's not about marriage, but it's rather about fathering. Who's your daddy? Remember that. So there are some Old Testament references that speak of God as Israel's father. Malachi 2:10 especially applies because the wording you see there is very similar to the wording that the Pharisees use when they speak to Jesus. So Malachi 2:10 says, "Have we not all one father? Hath not one God created us?" But Jesus says, God is not your father. Verse 42, Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God, and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me." Despite the fact that you are Israelites, God is not your father. Because the father's children love the father's son. The father's children love Jesus. They love the one that was sent by the Father. They love their older brother. They believe what he says. Jesus says, "I didn't come of my own accord." Now, many religious leaders have come of their own accord. Buddha, Muhammad, Krishna, Joseph Smith. They came proclaiming their own greatness and gathered a following, similar to Jesus. But they were not sent from the Father. So the key distinction here is that Jesus was sent by the Father to save the world. If you don't believe that, then no matter what your bloodline is, God is not your Father. And Jesus says to these religious leaders, "Your father is the devil." Verse 43, "Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word." You can't do it. Everything Jesus says grates on you. You ever hear someone drop the Jesus bomb in public? Try it. Say publicly, "Jesus is the only way to heaven." You'll divide the crowd. It's because when it all boils down, there really are only two camps. Those in the light and those in the darkness. Sons of Abraham and those who are not sons of Abraham. Sons of God and those who are not sons of God. So remember, key question of this passage, who's your daddy? And Jesus makes that very clear. Verse 44, "You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you don't believe me." Interesting phrasing there. Usually we say, you know, "I don't believe you because you're telling lies." But Jesus says to them, "Because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me." You got to keep in mind that some people will not listen to you if you tell them the truth. If you lie to them, they'll be happy to listen to you. Then Jesus says to them, "Which one of you convicts me of sin?" Crickets. Silence. Because no one can convict Jesus. He is altogether perfect. He obeyed every law of God. He loved God with all his heart, soul, and mind. He loved his neighbor as himself. He never lied, cheated, or stole. He never looked lustfully. He was never proud or rude. He was the perfect man. So who can convict Jesus of sin? No one. Jesus is holy and righteous. Jesus is the Lamb without spot. The only lamb fit to be sacrificed for the sins of the world. Now, people hear this gospel message. They hear this message and they respond differently. The same exact gospel message is preached. Some believe and some don't. And Jesus had these same results. And he asks the question, Why will some people never believe? Continuing in verse 46. If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever, and then he answers the question. He answers his own question. He says, verse 47, whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. These religious leaders, they are not of God. In another passage, Jesus tells them simply, you are not my sheep. Now, similarly, when you share the gospel, no matter how good your presentation, some people will never believe because they are not of God. They are not his elect. They're not his sheep. I'm always hoping and praying to find the sheep. I'm hoping this video out on the world wide web will find some sheep or some future sheep. We'll find those who are of God, but just need to be awakened to the truth of the gospel. And maybe as you hear these words, you find them resonating in your heart and your mind, and they're starting to bear fruit in your life. And maybe that's because you are of God, you are one of Jesus' sheep, and he is awakening you to new life at this very moment. Now, Jesus makes some strong accusations against these Jews. He says, you're liars, you're murderers, you're not legitimate sons of Abraham or of God. But what does that mean for us who have believed on Jesus Christ? What's true of the religious leaders is actually the opposite of us. In regards to our fathering, they are not sons of Abraham, but we are sons of Abraham. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. So we believe, and we are credited with the perfect righteousness of Jesus. They are not sons of God, but we are. God is our Father. Jesus taught us to pray, our Father who art in heaven. We are also taught in the epistles to pray, Abba Father, to call out to our God like a child speaking to his or her daddy. They can't bear Jesus' words, but we love Jesus' words. On the issue of obedience, they always want to do what the devil wants. But like Jesus, we always want to do what our Heavenly Father wants. It's not that we don't struggle with sin. You know, we have our Romans 7 moments. Why do I do what I don't want to do? But the chief driving force of our lives is this desire to please God. Related to this issue of truth, they are liars, but we are truth tellers. We are the light of the world. You know, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And then later he turns to his disciples and says, you are the light of the world. We who are on the side of truth, we are the light of the world. We carry the light of Jesus into this dark world. On the issue of life, they are murderers, but we are life givers, spreading the good news of forgiveness of sins and life in Jesus Christ. So back to that question, who's your daddy? If you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, then God is your Father. Your sins are forgiven, and you have abundant life and eternal life.